everyone knows stress is a huge factor in the quality of life and the length of life that we live. And so I wanted to share with you today something that just kept on ringing for me in my head. And it was the way I think about time and how the way I think about time has changed that's allowed me to totally drop a huge block of what used to be stress off of my back. So if you're someone who's listening to this right now and time in general is something that causes you stress, being late for things, people being late for you, somebody cutting you off on the road, hitting traffic, your life is only so long, like all of those things. I want to share with you today something that really helped me. And I hope it helps you. Where it came from today was I had a meeting for brunch in Brooklyn, which is about an hour and a half away from where I am if there's traffic, with a gentleman named Mark Fisher. Some of you probably know who Mark Fisher is if you're in the fitness space. If you're not in the fitness space, you've never heard of him. But Mark is a really fantastic entrepreneur in the fitness space, doing things very much his own way. So I wanted to connect with him for brunch because he's a guy I want to have a relationship with. There was no business value that is a straight line from our meeting to something that we're going to do together. It was just, this is a person I want to have in my life and who I would like to be valuable to. So I connected with him and we arranged to have brunch in Brooklyn. When I looked up how long it would take for me to get there, the navigation said at the time I was going to be going, based on typical traffic patterns, Waze can do that for you if you didn't know that, it would take about an hour and 34 minutes. Our brunch was scheduled for 11:30. What time would you get on the road for an 11:30 brunch that's an hour and 30 minutes away, accounting for all of the traffic that you're expected to hit? I'll tell you what time I got on the road. I got on the road at 8:45. I got on the road at 8:45 a.m. I gave myself 2 hours and 45 minutes to make what should have been a 1 hour and 30 minute drive. That might seem excessive if you're listening to this. Like, who has an extra hour and a half to waste? And I want to share with you what it did for me to go early. First and foremost, I did get into the town like an hour and 15, hour and 20 before our meeting. Okay, so I'm early. I paid an extra hour at a parking garage. No big deal. I was able to walk around Brooklyn and think when I got there. Think about the way I want to start a conversation with Mark. We've never met. What do I want the first thing I say to him to be? Where do I want to be when he sees me for the first time? What do I want to be doing when he sees me for the first time? Do I want to be sitting there on a bench near where we're supposed to be on my phone so that when he calls out my name or when he walks up on me, I didn't even realize he was coming? No, of course I don't want that. So where should I be so that I can see that he's going to be coming from wherever he's going to be coming from? I went and scouted the place. I even went in and looked at the menu because I knew I'm the kind of person who, if the menu looks good, I will agonize over what I want to order because I want to order everything. So I knew what I wanted to order before we even got there. And when the waitress came out with the menus, they sat on the table for a while. Then they said, hey, do you guys know what you want to order? And he said, and I was with him, no, we actually haven't even looked at the menus yet. Sorry. So then we started looking at the menus and I gave myself a double check, make sure that I wanted the thing that I wanted. Very quickly closed the menu. I was ready to order. When I was on my way in on my drive, I hit the traffic that was expected. I wasn't stressed about it. Even if it ended up being an hour longer than it was supposed to be, I would be there on time. So when I hit traffic, it wasn't a big deal. My blood pressure didn't go up at all. It was expected. I had the time. I made the time on purpose so that I could afford to hit traffic. What that also does is it means for me to do that, what else must be true? Well, what else must be true is I can't have anything on the schedule in work in the morning prior to going to meet with Mark. So I cleared my morning schedule. I could have taken a meeting for an hour prior. But then what happens is during that 1 hour meeting or that 1 hour activity I was doing, I would be stressed watching the clock. I need to make sure I get out of here by this time so that I can get to where I'm going and be there on time. I didn't want that stress. So I didn't do anything in the morning prior except for work out at 6 a.m. The next thing is same thing for the way home. I didn't have anything scheduled for after the meeting at all until 4 p.m. because I didn't know exactly what time I would get back. And if he said, hey, let's hang out for an hour. I want to take you and go show you this thing, which he didn't. And I wasn't expecting, but I wanted time in case he did. Or if we went over, I didn't know how long it would take me to get home. I didn't know if there'd be traffic and I didn't want to have to cut anything short. So I gave myself a 3 hour window from when our meeting would end before I would do anything else at home. I got home an hour and a half before the next meeting that I had. Let's take it to that meeting. I had to go to the city to pay for something for the business. When I got there, they said, you know, if you paid in cash, you would save 3%. Okay, I was paying about $120 for this thing with the city. What I told them without really thinking about it at all was it would cost me more money to go get the cash than it would to just take your 3% fee. And they laughed. But the reality is this. If I take the amount of money that I earn daily and I divide it by the number of hours that I work daily, for me to go to an ATM from where I was would be about, let's say, 12 to 15 minutes round trip. Probably more than that with parking and waiting in line and all that kind of stuff. So let's just say 12 to 15 minutes for $3. For $3. Now, you might say, Sean, that's it doesn't every dollar matter? You weren't making money during the other time. It's not as if you had a sales call afterwards. It's not as if you're actually paid hourly. And you're right. But the point I'm sharing with you is that it's not actually about that $3 and change. It's about the mindset of efficiency. It's about the mindset of, I'd rather pay $3.40 or whatever it is to use the credit card while I'm standing in front of you than I would save it by going to that ATM. And that's a micro decision that I don't have to spend any energy making because I've already decided in my macro decision-making filter, I'm always going to optimize for efficiency when I have the opportunity to. So that's an of course. There's no thought there. Of course, that's what I'm going to do. The person who was processing the fee took a really long time. Like way longer than it should. Actually made me feel good about the amount of money I was paying for a lot of nothing because I felt like it took her almost an hour to do it. It's an exaggeration, probably 7-8 minutes, but it felt like an hour because it should have been 2 seconds. I didn't have anywhere to go. Just came back to the office. My next meeting is in 47 minutes from now as I record this. Plenty of time. As I was leaving the office, the town office, I get in my car, I'm driving, even though I normally walk. Today it's misty out and I don't feel like getting wet on the ride home, on the walk home tonight. And there's a light that changes and a man who's very clearly not paying any attention and is going to walk across the intersection. Like he's gonna walk across the intersection and I'm gonna hit him. Or I'm going to wait about 9 seconds for him to walk across the road when I have the light. Go for it, man. I'm in no rush. I don't care. Go for it. And it didn't bother me. seems like a small thing, but put yourself in my situation. You're getting ready to go and actually get some work done. And some guy, when the light turns green for you, is like 6 feet to the left of your front bumper. And if you start going, you're obviously going to hit him because you're like 15 feet, you know, away from where he's at. 6 feet to the left, 15 feet behind. It's annoying. You're like, dude, eyes up, bro. What are you doing? Didn't care. No big deal. Low stress. I used to drive around really fast. Kim, my wife, had to break that in me. Like, I mean, it was dangerous. I've gotten, Mom, if you're listening, earmuffs on this one. I've gotten my dad's car back when I was in college up to 120 miles an hour on the parkway late at night. Not smart. Not smart. But we lived, so that was good. But that's the kind of driving that I was always comfortable with. Like my roommate coming home from University of Maryland with me used to call them 30-second moves, because I was the car whipping across the lanes, saving 30 seconds at a time. Now when I see that person and I end up next to them at a light after they made 7 moves to save some time ahead of me, and then we get to the light and they're right next to me, even though I didn't change lanes at all, it makes me laugh because I think back to the time when I was the person who would have been that person and how on you have to be making those moves over and over and over and over and over again. And how annoyed you get when you go to make that move and then it disappears, that window's gone. You're like, oh, this guy won't go. Honk, honk. I laugh now when I'm next to that person. I feel bad for them, but I laugh because it was me. And so here are the rules I have for time. I'm always going to optimize for efficiency, meaning if I have to spend more money to get something done in less time, and the amount of money is not commensurate, if like the savings that I would get to spend the extra time is not commensurate with the extra time, I spend the money. Examples of that: paying with a credit card at the city today. I have Clear and TSA pre-check at the airport. I board the plane early because I dislike sitting in the, in the terminal. It's just, it feels inefficient. Then you get on, you're looking for where a place to put your bag overhead. It's just a pain in the ass. I hire a driver to take me to the airport instead of trying to order an Uber because my town doesn't have a ton of Ubers driving in and out of it. And there's stress around whether or not one's actually going to come. And the taxis here are just, well, they're taxis. Let's be honest about if you're still driving a taxi today. I order all of the food that we're going to eat for the week on Sunday. So either I go to the grocery store because I want to do it to kind of free my brain, or we order it if it's not something that's growing in our garden or that's already frozen in our freezer. When I buy meat, I buy 300 pounds of a cow frozen, and it lives in my garage in a 15.3 cubic foot freezer. I buy it all at once. Why? So it's there. It's not about saving the money. I don't even know how much less expensive it would be than buying less. It's about, it's there. I don't have to worry about it. I can just go to the freezer. What do we have? What do we want? Great. Let's have that. What other optimizers do I use for time? I work out at the same time every day. I have rules for the way that my schedule gets set up so that things do not get put on my schedule during times that I've chosen for myself. When I have meetings, like I did today, somebody like with Mark or really anybody else, in-person meetings especially, that becomes the event for the day. It at least becomes the event for 2/3 of the day. I want to be able to be present while I'm there. I don't answer my phone all day long. The only people who call me and have the opportunity for me to answer my phone in the middle of the day our immediate family. That's it. I'm counting my mom, my dad, my sister in that. But even they oftentimes wouldn't get through because my phone's in my drawer. My phone's out now because my wife is pregnant, and if I get the call, I want to be able to go. But generally speaking, my phone is in a drawer, and it's on silent, and it's on do not disturb. Like, I answer when it's on my schedule. I am where my schedule tells me to be, including when my schedule tells me to be at lunch, when my schedule tells me to take a break. That frees me up of the decision-making that typically comes with not having a schedule. And it takes a little bit more time to set up the system that allows me to operate that way. But then once that system is set up, it saves me so much time and so much emotional energy and decision-making on the back end. I remember when my father first said to me, "You never pick up when I call. You can't answer for your dad." I was like, "I love you, Dad." And no, if you need me, I'll always answer. If you're just calling because a thought hit your brain and you think it's my responsibility to change what I'm doing to answer it, no, I'm not going to answer for that. And so I have my father schedule calls that he wants to have with me with Sheila, who handles all of my bookings. And people say, "You're crazy. You make your father schedule calls with you?" I say, yeah. The reason I do that is because I know if it's on my schedule, it's where I'm supposed to be. I don't have to think about anything else. That's what I'm supposed to be doing when it comes up. And so I'm able to be completely present during that call. Think about what happens for you when somebody calls when you're in the middle of trying to do something important. You know that little micro shot of adrenaline that you get? Ugh, that one? I don't get that. How many of those do you think you get in a day? How many of those do you get in a week, a month, a year, a lifetime? I don't get any of them. My phone ringer is never on. Because even when I'm at home and I'm off schedule and someone could reach out and contact me, I'm not looking to stop what I'm doing to make time for your call. If you call and I don't answer and you want to get my attention and you send me a text that says, "Hey, was just calling about this, this, this," I'll probably call you back. But I didn't see your call. I didn't not answer your call on purpose. I just didn't see it. So when I come back, if I have a missed call, I'm not calling you back. If I have a missed call and a missed message from you and the message is asking me to call you back, I am calling you back. But the dinging, the alerts of phones and the requests for attention that so many people tolerate throughout the day is something I don't. And that removes a ton of stress for me. A ton of stress. So while that might not seem like a time hack, it is, because how often do we allow ourselves to get interrupted from doing the thing that we are there to be doing? And if we allow ourselves to get interrupted, what was the point of doing the thing? It means it wasn't that important. Think about the most important thing that you ever did or that you ever do. Would you allow someone to interrupt you while you did that for something insignificant? I wouldn't. I imagine you wouldn't either. Take it to the extreme. You're having sex with your partner. It's going great. You're leaving your phone open for texts? Ding! Ding! I better check that. I'm not. So if the thing that you're doing at any given time isn't the most important thing for you to be doing, why are you doing it? That's the question I have. Because for me, the thing I'm doing at any given time is the most important thing that I'm doing at any given time. I don't care if that's listening to a podcast, watching a movie, going for a walk, working out, being in a meeting. It doesn't matter. The phone isn't a part of that. The sounds, the alerts, the requests for my attention are not a part of that. That reduces my stress. That saves me time. I hope it helps me live longer. Who the hell knows? All in all, what I think I was aiming to deliver for you today is that your time is finite. All of our time is finite. And the way that we decide to treat it is completely up to us. And I lived too many years reactively to what other people wanted of my time. And now when people get my time, they feel, at least I hope, they feel the value and the presence that is expected because they're getting it from me of having my time. And so less of it gets wasted. Almost none of it gets wasted. And that's amazing. I feel no stress as a result of time. The last thing I'll say is what I started the podcast off is I included something that really complicates this issue, especially for me, which is, you know, understanding that you don't know how long you're going to live and you're trying to do this thing. You know, you don't know how long your kids are going to be young and you're trying to do this thing. You don't know how long you're going to have the energy, the vibrance to go on that trip. And you don't have the money to do it right now. So when are we going to go? Are we always going to push it to tomorrow? Time, 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 the stress of time. I probably shouldn't have said that to start this podcast because it certainly does complicate things. And if I'm being honest with you, which I always am, I got to stop saying that. The thing I struggle with the most is being content. I'm happy. I really enjoy my life. And oftentimes I forget that I enjoy my life and to enjoy my life because I'm so focused on the life I want to create that I forget about the life I've already created. That happens to me all the time. And I have to consciously snap myself back into it. What I'll say to you about getting to where you want to be before there isn't time to get there anymore. I'm a guy whose father just turned 70, making him the first man in 3 generations to live to 70 years old in my family. I've always grown up with an unspoken urgency to get things done because I don't know how long I'm going to be here for. I intend to be here until my daughter's 70th birthday, which makes me 100. And I intend to be here, like mentally, physically here. One day, I just want people to be surprised. He died? I was with him yesterday. He was great. That aside, since we don't have control over the day it ends, what gives me peace, some peace, about what happens between now and then is if I have a goal, and I do, and that goal is meaningful enough, and it is, well, then I should also build a plan that I believe is most likely to get me to that goal. And I have. And so, the best way for me to get to that goal faster than otherwise is to constantly be checking in on the quality of the plan. Is it working? To schedule time for yourself, myself, to evaluate the plan, and to be ready to pivot on it. Because all I can do is trust my plan. That is the fastest way from where I am to where I want to be. So stressing over how could I get there faster makes no sense. Because it's not in the plan to stress about how to get there faster. It's in the plan to figure it out. Turn pro.